And let's turn to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians in the New Testament, one of Paul's letters that he wrote from the Roman prison to his sons and daughters in the faith. The things that he writes about are so strongly important to his heart that he takes time from prison to make sure his people hear these things. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're in a series called Making His Provision Our Practice. Making His Provision Our Practice. And this is our 14th part. And this morning's message is called Follow, Walk, and Love. Follow, Walk, and Love. Ephesians chapter 5. Before Pat puts the verses up on the screen, I'd like you to see it out of your own Bible. Now, last week, we dealt with the put-off and the put-on principle. The Lord, when He redeems us and saves us, as you know, church, doesn't just bring us to zero. He doesn't just take us from the negative and bring us to zero. He wants us to put off sin, indeed. But what does He want us to do? Put on Christ. Put on the new garments of righteousness, the whole new way of life. We don't do that by works. We're saved by grace through faith, lest any man should work. But we cooperate with His grace. We don't frustrate the grace of God, the Bible says. We cooperate with Him. How many know that it takes our cooperation in walking with God? I can give you $1 million, won't do you any good unless you decide to cooperate with it, receive it, and begin to spend it or invest it. So God has invested so much within us. The first three chapters of Ephesians all about how rich we are in Christ. The last three chapters of Ephesians all about how Christ is in us, and we take that provision, make it our own, and begin to walk it out in our daily life. How many know you need to be Christians in daily living? Amen. Come on, turn to each other and say, you and I, we can do a better job. Now turn to each other and say, but you're really pretty hot stuff. Okay, so the first three chapters are the theology of it, and the last three chapters are how we walk this out, making His provision our practice. Now today, I'm going to take only two verses, church, just two, because it's the heartbeat of why we're doing what we're doing. It's the heartbeat of what Paul wants us to understand. This is why he's writing from this Roman jail cell to his daughters and sons in the faith. Here's what he wants us to know with everything that's been provided. Look at verses 1 and 2 of Ephesians chapter 5. And then I'm going to have it up on the screen in a lot of different versions. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. I'll read first from the King James, then I'm going to read from the New King James. King James, verse 5. Be ye therefore, say the word with me please, followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love. Come on, say it out loud with me, church. Walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Out of the New King James, therefore, be imitators of God. King James, be followers of God. New King James, be imitators of God as dear children. And walk in, say it again, love. As Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us. Make no doubt about it. Jesus loves you radically to the core. That's why He was impaled on a cross. He stretched out His arm. He said, Father, His arms, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He did it out of love for you and for me and first of all for His Father as He obeyed God's calling on His life. And we're here this morning because He did it. Aren't you glad? Thank Jesus that He did this for us. Christ also loved us, given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that His sacrifice was pleasing to God? Does that mean, well, it was, but was that a fun thing? No. Was it a nice smell? I bet it didn't even smell good. So what does it mean? It was a sweet-smelling savor to God. Just like in the tabernacle of Moses in the Old Testament, they had their offerings that they would present to cover over sin. How many know that didn't take away sin? They constantly had to be sacrificing the animals. But Jesus comes as the final sacrifice for sin, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Aren't you glad that He took yours away?
Yes.
But the sacrifice that He did on the cross of Calvary, the final sacrifice, in the Old Testament they would burn that sacrifice on the altar, and it was a sweet aroma to God, meaning sin was dealt with. Sin was covered over. That was an aroma that was pleasing to God. That surrender, that sacrifice, that animal gave its life so my sin could be covered. You can always tell who the worst sinner in town was because they beat the path from the tent over to the tabernacle every day. There goes Charlie, his herd's getting smaller. That'd be kind of like my herd's getting smaller. Then you better stop sinning, Kev. Oh, okay. I hadn't thought of that. All right, so the sweet-smelling sacrifice to God, and then what does Jesus come and do? The final sacrifice for sin that covered us, that delivered us, that washes us clean from guilt and shame and sickness and from all of that propensity to sin. Changes our heart and our life, makes us pleasing and acceptable to God. God says, I don't like what's happened to my son, but it's a sweet-smelling sacrifice. Because finally, the stench of sin is removed. Can you say thank God with me that the stench of sin from your life and mine is gone? How many know that sin stinks? You ever? I stink. Forgive me, Lord. Sin stinks. But surrender and forgiveness is a sweet incense. That's the Lord calling now to say amen. Go ahead, we could all answer. Go ahead, everybody. Hello? Hello? All right, let's put the other versions up. Pat, if you would please. Let me read these two verses out of a couple of different translations so you get the flavor in the text of the verse. Out of the New American Standard Bible. New American Standard. We've had King James, New King James. New American says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God, say it with me, as a fragrant aroma. Now out of the New Living. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us. Say it with me, please. A pleasing aroma to God. Excuse me, out of the NIV, New International Version. And be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now, I want you to pay attention to the Message version. You had it, Pastor Sherry, that was a fantastic, fantastic verse to use this morning. She did not know what I was going to preach on, and what a tie-in of confirmation and the prophetic words, and what a tie-in to what God's saying. So there's something for us to pay attention to this morning about the love of God. How many think you could stand having a little more understanding of the love of God in your life? As I could in mine. All right, now watch the Message out of this. This is fantastic. Watch what God does. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Watch what God does. And then, say it with me, you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly, what God does is love you. Turn to each other and say that. Mostly, what God does is love you. Keep company with Him. Keep company with Him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, I love this, but what? Extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of Himself to us. Very simply, love like that. If only it was that simple. Follow. Follow. Followers. What does it mean to be the followers of Christ? The Greek word is mimetes, and it means literally an imitator. An imitator. Now, this word signifies the person who follows hard after someone else. You've seen people like that, and I was a senior in high school, and I was in drama and West Side Story, and there was a sophomore guy who just really wanted to be like me. I have no idea, and I'm sure he's repented since then. But people said he did just this. I never noticed it, but they came and said, "Have you seen this kid? He's following you. He even walks like you walk." And that's what this is Adam Clark, a commentator, and he says, this is like children who follow after, they assume the walk, the mode of speech, the accent, the way they carry themselves. From this Greek word, we get the word mimic. Anybody ever heard of a mimic? Yeah. Remind me, you ever play those games when you were a kid? And the mirror kind of things that you could play? Let your whole conduct, Adam Clark says, be like that of your Lord. Imitate Him in all your actions, your words, your spirit, your inclinations. Imitate Him as children do their parents. Remember, you stand as beloved children to the Lord. It's natural for kids to imitate their parents. Whatever they see the parent do, whatever they hear the parents speak, they try to copy and imitate. And sometimes those little mirrors imitate a little too much, don't they, Mom and Dad? Sometimes the things that are weaknesses in us, they imitate. So, now, these verses, verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5, continue on from chapter 4, verse 32, where we left off of. Verse 32 of chapter 4 says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you." That's what the therefore. So it ties it in. Verse 1 says, so therefore, because God in Christ has forgiven you, therefore, be followers of God as dear children. Since Jesus has forgiven you and you're completely changed by the radical love of God, now be His kids. Church, anybody in here changed by the radical love of God? Yes. Man, I played church for a long time in my life before I radically got saved. Then when I radically got saved, I really radically got saved. My life changed because I knew His love was for me. More than something I sang about, when I sang about it now after giving my life to Him, man, the song's made a difference. That song this morning, "The Love of God," that's an old song, but it is so true. How rich, how full, how powerful. Because He's forgiven and changed me. Now, because of that, I have the responsibility, the right, the privilege, and the enabling of the Spirit to walk like Him, to be an imitator of God. You heard the phrase. She's the spitting image. Now, I'm not going to have you turn to each other and say that. The front row should have your umbrella out this morning. Are you the spitting image of the Lord? Little mirrors. I remember it was so cute. When my kids were little, I heard this shouting going on in the deck, and they were out there playing, and it was fun shouting. I knew it was something good, and you know, you kind of sneak by and see what they're doing. And I go out to the deck, and the chairs are turned over, and they're playing, and they're shouting, and one's going down, the other one's coming up, and they're cheering and yelling, and going, yay, yay, and then the other one does it, and they go down, and they come up. They were playing baptism. Because that's what they'd seen Daddy do, and that's what they'd done at church, imitating Dad, the spitting image. Let me show you something. This is interesting. This is called, and you can do the top picture first and then the bottom one. This is called, maybe you've heard of it, only found and discovered in 1998, the mirror octopus. The mirror octopus, it's principle that I'm after this morning, but the mirror octopus is a species of octopus that can get 2 feet in length. Its normal coloring is brown and white in stripes or spots, and it lives in the tropical seas of Southeast Asia, and it was found recently off the Great Barrier Reef off Queensland. Now, this octopus mirrors and mimics the physical likeness and movements of more than 15 different species. Vern, would you kind of turn the lights or dim them a little bit in the front section here so they can see that a little bit better? It mirrors the different species of 15 different animals. Sea snakes, lionfish, flatfish, brittle stars, giant crabs, stingrays, flounders, jellyfish, mantis, shrimp. It'll go like all of those, and the way it does it, it contorts its body and its arms, and it changes colors right in front of these species. Now, apparently, and I didn't know this, all octopuses can change color and texture. I didn't know that. Many can blend in with the seafloor, and they appear like rocks. But the mimic octopus is the first octopus species ever observed literally to impersonate other animals. And they base it on their observation. This octopus will impersonate this particular snake by turning black and yellow. It buries six of its arms and waves the other two arms in opposite direction. I mean, this is a smart octopus, the mimic. Feel like it should break out and sound like Rodney Dangerfield. I don't get no respect. You know what I mean? And this thing can even bury itself in the sand, and all you can see are its eyes and head above the sand. It's just an incredible thing. And it's a mimic. Now, the Bible says, if you'll turn them up, please, the Bible says, I'm supposed to mimic Christ. I'm supposed to be an imitator of Christ. Well, how do I do that? I'm going to keep things really simple this morning. How do I do that? Well, number one, read and live in and stay in His Word. Amen. If you want to see what a Christian lives like, live in the Word of God and let it come to life in front of you. Stay in fellowship in the church where you learn about His ways and you have the opportunity to build fellowship and friendship. How do you know you're not going to walk too strongly with the Lord when you're out on your own? Take the coal out of the fire, it turns cold. Put it back in a fire, turns hot. And so you walk with the Lord. How many know the Holy Spirit gives you His voice inside? And many times we call it the voice of conscience. But the Bible says the Spirit is an umpire. What's an umpire do? Safe! Or strike! So listen to the voice of the Spirit of God. Stay in His Word. Stay in church. Stay in relationship with each other. And what would Jesus do? Mimic Him. Act like Him. Keep it simple. Most of us, when it really boils down to it, really know what the Lord wants us to do about something. Now, we have a few issues in life that confuse us. But you know, it's remember the old thing? I'm going to pull out an old illustration. But remember the old thing about guy and a gal were involved in wrong relationship together, and they were getting ready to commit sexual acts inside this motel room. And they prayed, Lord, if you don't want us to do this, have someone knock on the door. Now, how many know nobody came and knocked on the door, but it was still wrong? You don't need a voice when you got a verse. Most of us know when something's right or wrong. Follow the lead. Don't turn a deaf ear to the Spirit. But listen to Him. When we listen to Him, His voice gets louder, clearer. When we don't, it gets faint. So keep it simple. Be imitators of Him. Do what He would want us to do. We're not part-time Christians. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All right, so follow. Next, walk. The word walk, the Greek word is peripateo. Can you say that with me? Peripateo. Sounds like peripotatoes. Peripateo. It means to live, to deport yourself, to conduct yourself. How you walk. Now, earlier in chapter 4, verse 1, Paul said, walk worthy of your vocation. Remember that from the King James? Walk worthy of your calling. He's picked us up. He's forgiven us. He's dusted us off. He's set us on the road again. He's recovered us and forgiven us. By the way, if you ever stop in your heart and you're afraid, I think I've gone too far away from God, I can't be forgiven, the blessing is you've got a tender heart yet before the Lord, and you're the sign that He can forgive you. if you can continue on in sin with hardness and you don't care and it never bothers to give you a second thought, that's the heart that's not in good relationship with God. That's where I'd question that salvation. See what I mean? So how many know God's dealing with all of us? Anybody here have room to grow? Okay, I have room to grow. You have room to grow. So we want to listen to His voice and keep responding to Him. So how do you walk? Not habitually in sin, but with a tender heart before God. 1 John 2 verse 1 says, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, how do we walk? The apostle, Dad, is writing from the Roman jail cell, and he's concerned. How are you really walking this out? I've told you how rich you are in the Lord, but I want you to live this in the trenches. It's how you do when you go to the grocery store. It's how you do when you're in Walmart. It's how you do when you're walking down the store, or you're with friends, or you're seeing people. It's how you do when you're cut off in traffic. It's how you're really walking. And Paul says, I want you to conduct yourself like the real deal. Remember last week we finished not lying, but telling the truth. Not stealing, but working so you have something to give away. Not chewing each other out, but encouraging and blessing each other. Not coarse jesting, but blessing and edifying. Again, turn to each other and say, I really mean it. You are hot stuff. Okay. All right. And he says now remember the main thing here. You're forgiven. You're loved by God. You're right with God, and He's inside of you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So I want you to mimic that. I want you to walk that and walk as His dear children. Were you ever the favorite of your parents? Some of you are looking like little angels. Yeah, I'm not going to say it, but yes, I was. Many of you like me are looking in the room going, are you kidding? Say with me, I am a favorite of the Lord. He's a big God. He has a lot of favorites. I forget my... Yeah, Dan's sitting next to his mom. That's right. That's right. What do you say? It's tough. You're on the spot, right? We all... are His dear children. Now, anybody ever hear of Skamania, Washington? Yeah. Skamania, Washington. Now, my stepdad, I was very close to my stepdad, and he comes from pioneer stock in Skamania, Washington. They worked the fish ladders. They worked the, you know, his father was one of the engineers on the dam down there. And you know, North Bonneville was a little community that people lived in for years. And then when they changed the reservoir behind the dam, that whole thing was moved up to a whole different site. I remember staying at my grandmother's house that's now well underwater. Probably they took it down at that time. So no longer exists. But Skamania, Washington. So Skamania, Washington's a little drink of a town. I mean, there's nothing there, but his family. There's a road named after his family, and he had his cousin worked the post office and the general store, and he had family. His brother lived there. His uncle lived there. His dad lived there when I was a little kid growing up. So me and my brother, being brainiacs, decided we'd go out and really do some stupid stuff. Guess what? Everybody in town knew we weren't supposed to be acting that way because we were part of this family. So we were out messing around in the river and just having a good old time, having done some wrongful activity. Now, don't you carry on too far in your mind. I'm not going to tell you what we did, but we didn't go too far. But anyway, we were doing some stupid stuff, and we're swimming around. We're having a great time, and we should be in school and all sorts of stuff. And all of a sudden, my friend, and it's my brother and I, my friend looks up and goes, oh, bummer, we're busted. I went, what? There was my dad walking right toward us. And I'm sitting there going, how'd he know? Because in this little town, everybody knows everything. And they knew we weren't acting like we were supposed to be acting like. So, you know what? People know if you're a Christian and you act like it. People know. And And I remember in college being so agitated over finals and just strung out and being upset with everybody. And some guy who didn't know the Lord from a doorpost walks up to me and goes, "Aren't you supposed to have peace?" He says to me, "Why don't you go spend some time with the man?" And I wanted to hit him. But he was right. And he knew what I was supposed to act like. So be imitators as dear children of God. Do you know the world needs us to be like him? So let's act that way. In love, agape, in benevolence, affection, a love feast, always being forgiven and always forgiving, always reaching toward us, always reaching out, always caring, building bridges. Even if we're angry, don't sin with that anger. Reach out in love. Be restored. Let there come forgiveness and real life to you and to other people through you. Follow. Walk. Number three, give. In love. Give. So, what are we to do? Ephesians 5, verse 2. "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." The word given is paradidomi, and it means surrender, give up, yield, to trust. Jesus surrendered to his Father so he could give, even when it wasn't convenient. Paul says, I want you to remember why we're doing all this. Remember why you don't sin. And we're going to go on in chapter 5 and find all sorts of specific things that are commanded or commanded not to do, and things we're commanded to do. But lest we get bogged down in the detail of the things, let's remember why. Because we're his. We don't do the things, it says in the scripture, that the Gentiles do, meaning those who don't know the Lord. They're walking far away from God. We don't do those things. Why? Because Jesus has radically loved us. Mimic his life. What would Jesus do? Follow. Walk in love. And it's a love that gives. Today, make it practical. When you go home, if there's something you're ticked off at your spouse about, your friend about, a family member about, you may not be able to heal that, but you certainly can be the one who forgives. You certainly can be the one who tries to reopen a door, even if they slam it shut again. Mimic what God does, even when it hurts. We spoke about this some last week, but I don't always want to forgive, but when I do, I act like Jesus, and it's a sweet aroma. My surrender is like that sacrifice on the altar that's a sweet aroma to God. Jesus said, "I'll take it," when we didn't deserve it. So we now get to say, "I'll take it," even when they don't deserve it. Crimes paid for in full, the word written is tetelestai. The items purchased at the store and it's paid in full, and the word is tetelestai. The enemy armies are defeated and they're conquered, and the general comes in and they cry out, tetelestai, mission is accomplished. And Jesus paid it all, and at the cross, after forgiving and loving and building bridges, dying, being buried, and being raised again, but before he does so on the cross, he cries out, "It is finished, tetelestai." And God sees the surrender. And he says, it's a sweet aroma. Your life, when lived like him, when you imitate him, becomes a sweet praise and an aroma to God. Follow. Walk. And love. And that kind of love is a giving love. Can we do that today, church?
Sure.
Amen. Let's stand. instruments and musicians, will you come back up? Instruments, come on back up, instruments. Musicians, will you come back up? Kibsi. How many know that you need a little help walking more like Jesus? How many know the Spirit is here to help us do just that? God loves you. And so let's give him away today, shall we? I don't know what you're going to face today. I don't know what you're going to face this week. But Jesus says, live like me. Imitate me in that daily walk. Go and give me away. Father, we thank you that you are so good and gracious, and we give you praise and pray that you will take your liberty in our lives as we surrender in fresh ways to you. Thank you, Lord, that we get to follow you. We get to walk like you. We get to love like you and give like you. Bless each one who's come here this day, and I pray you'd take liberty in the Spirit in every life here. If you're here this morning and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, this is the day to do so. Come on up and we'll be honored to pray for you. If you're here and you haven't been walking right with God and you know you need to make it right with him again, come on up. We'll be honored to pray with you. If you need healing in your body, we'll be honored to pray with you. But above all, let's remember the love of God and let's mimic him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.